I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning, everyone. On this formal Friday, welcome into the show. We hope you guys are dressed up today. Are you guys dressed up at home? David, are you dressed up? It is formal Friday, after all. I don't know if you...
I am not dressed up, and I'm actually in the dark today, so...
You're in the dark again?
But I'm wearing Star Wars. I don't know if that counts for anything, but if not, it should.
If we can't see it, we don't believe it. We can't see it.
It never happened? Yeah, I don't have my bow tie anymore, so...
Man, so we had to switch over to Restream because we had some vMix issues and it is, you know, right now Mercury retrograde is set to happen. So I don't know how many of you are experiencing craziness right now in your homes with technology. It's going to get crazy this weekend. Is that you in the dark?
It is.
Is that your show? Boom. Oh, there you go.
See,
that's me in the corner. That's right. Good morning, everyone. So if you're new here to the show, please say hello in the chat and welcome in. We do the show live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time, covering financial news so that you can make money learn how to navigate this crazy market right now. I mean, look, again, fiat currency, government currency, every fiat currency in world history has collapsed. What makes you think that the U.S. dollar will not eventually collapse as a store of value? So if you have your money sitting in U.S. dollars, you need to think really long and hard about your family's future. So on this show, we teach you how to invest in God's money, real estate, gold, silver, and the people's currency, which is cryptocurrency. And we also teach you how to navigate so you're not getting in trouble by these crazy Wall Street greed monsters. But who, by the way, will be back on Wall Street, or those CEOs of Wall Street today are going to be back in front of the Senate Finance and Banking Committee. They're going to be grilled once again. There were some pretty funny moments. We'll show you some of those moments, some highlights here where Elizabeth Warren was getting into it with Jamie Dimon. We'll get to all of that in a moment. But so welcome into the show. I'm an investor. I've been a longtime real estate investor and cryptocurrency investor for a few years now, at least on the crypto side, longtime real estate investor. And we produce a daily newsletter. If you want to be more informed and learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter, which is sent by email right to your inbox first thing in the morning. Just go to morninginvest.com. It usually hits your inbox between 6:30, 7 in the morning, and you'll be added to our list. So you receive that email once a day. Every day. Nice to see everyone here. Michelle Brown is here. Derek Eads is here. Kate T is here. Welcome, everyone. Good to see everyone here. Let us know what your plans are this weekend. All right, we're going to get to, let's check the markets before we dive into some of the big headlines of the day. Bitcoin, we're going to do some charting here at Bitcoin in just a moment, because a lot of people concerned about, you know, what's happening with Bitcoin. Are these prices going to continue to drop? Bitcoin at 36,000. Ethereum at 2,600 right now, and Dogecoin about 32, down from about 35. Gold, silver, down a little bit as well, 1,892. But some people's thinking we could really, I was reading an analysis yesterday of gold prices where we need to really rethink gold. Like $2,000, kind of what, you know, we're seeing by the end of this year in price on gold, but maybe we actually need to be thinking of gold as a store of value of $20,000. So where will gold go as a store of value when you have the government printing money like crazy and Republicans don't want to pay for it? They don't want to pay for it through tax increases on the wealthy. So what are we going to do? Just deficit spend? Is that the plan? Seems that's the case. That's what's going to happen. So we'll get to all of that in a moment. So anyway, President Biden set to unveil a $6 trillion spending plan. It's his budget for 2022 today. It will total $6 trillion. That's an increase from $5.7 trillion, which was spent back in the Trump era under 2021. The plan is going to include President's infrastructure bill, which is not a sure thing, as lawmakers are continuing to negotiate this plan. It also accounts for the president's tax increases, which are obviously still in the negotiation stages. The next year's budget could be considered a massive spending spree, which the administration sees as necessary right now, as a necessary investment. According to the Wall Street Journal, it would put the nation on a path to spend $8.2 trillion annually by the end of 2031. But we need to pay for it. Debt would exceed the record level that we've seen since the end of World War II within a few years. And it would reach 117% of our economic output by the end of 2031, up from about 100% this year. Look, I am a progressive. Make no mistake about it. I'm all for helping people. But when you don't have a way to pay for it, hey, we saw the story yesterday we featured here about we're going to continue to build nuclear bombs and nuclear weapons at almost $730 billion a year, right? And we were spending on our defense budget $750 billion a year to blow up people. Like, maybe it's time we figure out a way to reprioritize. Like, if really want to do that, you know, we got to pay for this.
They did propose a way that they're going to pay for it, and that's by a gas tax.
Well, and we need that, right? A gas tax. Well, yeah. You know, this is where Secretary Buttigieg of the Transportation Department, we've said we're not going to have increases on people making less than $400,000 a year, but a gas tax is exactly that. So Republicans are in favor. By the way, Republicans are pushing this gas tax, and Democrats don't seem to want to stand up to it, but they don't want to do increases on taxes for the wealthy. So that's a non-starter in their negotiations on this infrastructure bill. We don't want to tax the wealthy. And yet these CEOs are making millions of dollars on Wall Street. They testified on Capitol Hill. They're going to be back today testifying. There were some fireworks yesterday, and I want to show you this between Jamie Dimon and Elizabeth Warren. He can't really answer the question as to, you know, how much money have they made on overdraft fees, charging people during a pandemic when their credit cards got stung. Like, what's going to happen? How much money did you make? Watch this exchange.
Let's show you some of this tape. They probably should have been wearing sunscreen, too. Some interesting moments yesterday in the Senate Banking Committee hearing where CEOs of big banks testify. The fireworks came, as you might imagine, when Senator Elizabeth Warren began sparring with J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon over overdraft fees.
Mr. Dimon, how much did J.P. Morgan collect in overdraft fees from their consumers in 2020?
I think your numbers are totally inaccurate, but we'll have to sit down privately and go through
these
that.
These are public numbers.
And I also want to point out we did not overdraft.
Can you just answer my question? How much did J.P. Morgan collect in overdraft fees from their customers in 2020? Do you know the number?
I don't know the number in front of me, but
I actually have the number in front of me. $1.463 billion.
We waived the fees for customers upon request if they were under stress because of COVID.
But you could fix that right now. Mr. Dimon, will you commit right now to refund $1.5 billion you took from consumers during the pandemic?
No.
Senator Warren, wait.
No, I will not. No, I will not. By the way, another part of that back and forth was on his executive pay package and all of these CEOs who are, you know, literally making like 20 or I don't know, 200 times the amount in salary that their employees are making. When asked about this, he said, look, I have nothing to do about that. You know, it's the board. It's the board of, you know, it's the board members that give me that pay. I have nothing to do with it. Like, as if you couldn't say, like Steve Jobs said, I only want to take $1 in salary to the board, right? You're the CEO. You could say, you know what? Maybe we could reimburse our employees or reposition this money so that our employees are actually better paid. There's an idea. It's the board. I can't go against the board. Can't do it. It's the board.
Yeah, I mean, these corporations are set up. It's actually illegal for them not to try to make profits. You know what I mean? Like, that's like their main purpose is to make profits, and they will do it no matter what at the cost of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and Wall Street rewards job cuts, job layoffs, right? And this is the underline of all of this. So on the spending side, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said that all of this spending is temporary. It's necessary. This $6 trillion plan. She called it a fiscally responsible program. The plan is for the country to borrow what it intends to spend in order to foster growth over the long term. But, you know, don't expect Congress to pave the way for this president's plan. Congress will likely put up their own plan. They're going to have to pass it with bipartisan support. And, you know, the clock is running out. I mean, and Congress can't seem to agree on anything right now. I mean, here you would think, right? You would think that we have a January 6th commission, right? This idea of examining what the heck happened at the Capitol. What the heck happened? Like, did people let people in the doors? You know, like, and by the way, the mother of the fallen Capitol police officer who was killed by the insurrectionists, the rioters, is like pleading with members of Congress. She's been like trying to get these different members of Congress on the Republican side on the phone, trying to talk to Mitch McConnell and stuff. And they like won't return her call. She's like pleading with them, like, don't obstruct this. Like, hold the commission. We got to find out what happened the first time in the history of our country. You know, and right now there's this, you know, this, they're standing in front of it. Republicans are saying, we're not going to go along with this commission to investigate the Capitol. In fact, Mitch McConnell basically saying that this could be the first filibuster from Republicans. Like, how do you wait? How do you sleep at night? You know, how do you sleep at night if you're a Republican who is going to not, your first filibuster is going to be to not want to investigate what happened at the Capitol? Okay. And apparently, according to this closed door meeting from Mitch McConnell, the reason is because it'll hurt them in the midterm elections. That, oh my gosh, we're going to actually look and find out that there were people giving tours to people even a day ahead of time before the riots happened. Republicans were showing people around and perhaps even inciting people to come to the Capitol to attack the Capitol building. And that could hurt us in the midterm elections. Yeah, you think? Maybe it will. But that's a reason not to have the commission, because it's just to protect your party's interests. And by the way, I'm not defending Democrats here at all. I mean, but here's the thing. They both would do this to protect themselves, I think. I mean, if the shoe were on the other foot and Democrats were the one who invited people to the Capitol and it was, trying to encourage this craziness to overturn an election, would Democrats want to investigate themselves in this? I doubt it. It's party preservation, and both of these parties are basically corrupt anyway, right? So there's a new wedge issue right now, and all it comes down to Senator Joe Manchin to soften his opposition to, like, maybe changing the filibuster rule. Because a Senate vote on the commission expected yesterday was pushed back to today. And why all this matters is that Senator Joe Manchin, the guy who stands in the way of just about everything, is furious that Republicans aren't supporting this commission. And some Democrats hope that the issue will cause him to yield on his opposition to ending the filibuster rule, which requires 60 votes for a bill to pass. We've got a 50-50 Senate. That means that 10 Republicans need to come forward and say, yes, we agree with a January 6th commission to see what happened at the Capitol and find out why we had people literally killed and breaking into the Capitol, calling for the death of Mike Pence, the vice president, Nancy Pelosi. Why was there a gallows set up on the lawn? I mean, really? You don't want to investigate this? What do you want to investigate? You want to spend years looking at Benghazi going after Hillary Clinton? Okay. Well, then now we have an opportunity to look at something as equally troubling, right? So Joe Manchin was stopped in the hallway yesterday, and he was furious about it. Like, Joe Manchin was not happy that Republicans are trying to get in the way of this. Here's what he had to say to reporters as he was coming out of the chambers.
You know that the family of Officer Sicknick is meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
I put a statement out this morning.
Would you be willing to break the filibuster in order to get this passed? The plan made
I'm not ready to destroy our government. I'm not ready to destroy my government. No, I think the best will come together. You have to have faith. There's 10 good people.
How frustrating is it for you to say?
You have to have faith that there's 10 good people. It's like, yeah, really? Do how many of you watching right now have faith in our Congress that there's 10 good people? There's 10 good people. I don't know.
see Republicans line up in opposition to this.
It's frustrating to say this, I will tell you. There was a lot of negotiations, and the leadership of the Democrats on both the House and the Senate have agreed to the recommendations that were made to make the adjustments. There's no excuse for a Republican not to vote for this unless they don't want to hear the truth.
What's your message to Republican senators who are still opposing it, even after meeting with the family today?
The truth will set you free. Exactly what I said. The truth will set you free. If not, then you must be concerned that you have still the fear. I don't know why you, anyone would want to know what went on for the first time in the history of our country. It was an insurrection that's never, ever happened before. And now be afraid to find out what really happened and how we prevent it from ever happening again.
It's a good point.
I don't know. Yeah. I still feel like it's all theater, because it's like they're filibustering us again on passing this infrastructure stuff. I mean, these commissions, like if you look at even like the 9/11 commission, what a joke that commission was, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that when they do these investigations, there was more money spent investigating the Monica Lewinsky scandal than there was 9/11. So it's like they're going to make something out of this just to keep us occupied while they push the infrastructure stuff till September 30th or whatever it is. And then they're going to hem haw around. And it's like, this is just a distraction. That's all it feels like to me. It's like, you know what? It happened. It just increase your forces on the Capitol. Done. We don't need to know what happened. Just get on with what we have to do to move on from it.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the Monica Lewinsky thing was crazy witch hunt, and you know, it started out as an investigation into Whitewater, and then it, you know, was just open-ended. And, you know, the whole reason he was even impeached, it had to do with something that occurred during, like, after the Whitewater investigation piece was part of the Bill Clinton investigation. It was crazy. But the 9/11 commission, I will at least say that what we discovered during the 9/11 commission was that all of these agencies didn't talk to each other. That was a big piece of it. That their computer equipment was incredibly outdated. That the FBI had pieces of information that didn't coordinate with the CIA, and that perhaps some of this could have been, or all of it could have been prevented if they had actually taken action on certain pieces of information that were sitting on certain desks at certain field offices by the FBI.
Which is exactly the same thing here. They had information. They had, you know, right.
Didn't we learn our lesson?
Yeah, we're talking less than 100 people were able to get into the Capitol. So what's your solution? Just increase your security. Boom, done. Let's move on. Let's get the infrastructure bill done. It's not like they were militants. It's not like they had weapons and guns and all this other stuff. I mean, you know what? Like talking about the gallows, yeah, that's not a good thing. But you know what? That still falls under, you know, it's not like they were going to go in. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think had they found Pelosi or him in there that they would have done anything. Who knows? I mean, we don't know. But the thing is, like, there's just so much speculation. But it's like, it's just theater. Like, what are they going to find? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. 100 Trump supporters or whatever went in there. Big deal.
Well, I think what they might find, and this is where, I mean, and maybe this is where it becomes political and that's where there's this disagreement, is like what they might find, of course, is that there was coordination by Republicans. There was, you know, there was, well, who let these people in through the doors? I mean, we do know that there were a number of, you know, police officers that were literally a part of it, that showed up. So, you know, what would we uncover there? But I think, you know, to me, like,
I think Clayton's been having internet problems. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, we're going to be told what all this stuff that they find or whatever. And it's like, there's other scandals too, that are way more important to me than this. So, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's one of those things where they're going to sit there and they're going to go through all this stuff and it's going to be another nothing burger. So Clayton is frozen. We were having internet issues earlier today. Oh, there he goes. Bye, Clayton. Let me turn on my light again. I think he's back.
You got your light on?
I don't have audio on you, though.
No? No audio.
So... LL, I don't agree, David. I think they need to know if there was actually collusion, and we're lucky we didn't find AOC or Nancy. I don't know, like the collusion thing, there's so many different things they collude on. Like, I don't know, I'm just one of those, I'm just kind of skeptical of that. You can hear Clayton?
You guys can hear me?
We can hear Clayton? Well, how come I can't hear you, Clayton?
It's just pulling me. How about that? Can you guys? You guys can hear me?
I'm going to go out and come back in.
Yeah, maybe that's your side. Let's see here. Can you guys hear me okay in the chat? Just give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear me. Can you guys hear me in the chat? Just need confirmation of that. That's all I need. Anybody can? Can anybody hear me in the chat? Cannot hear me. Can you guys hear me? Check on YouTube here. I'm not getting an answer from you guys. Yes, you guys can hear. Okay, good, good, good. All right. So you can't hear me. That's good. All right. So gas prices. Gas prices set to go up and continuing to go up again today. These gas prices are, you know, you can expect to pay at least about a dollar higher than you're used to right now. And these gas prices are going to get out of control, as many of you are probably going to be traveling. How many of you are traveling this weekend? Memorial Day gas prices, the highest in 7 years and could stay high all summer. No bueno. No bueno. Gasoline prices the highest for Memorial Day holiday weekend since 2014. Prices are expected to range around $3 and stay elevated through the summer as Americans get back on the road, try to resume some normal activities, take driving holidays, etc. Yeah, let me know in the chat, like, how many of you guys are traveling? Have you guys been noticing this in your neck of the woods? The current average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline is $3.04 per gallon. That's 16 cents more than a month ago, $1.08 per gallon higher than last year, according to AAA. Motor Club expects 37 million Americans to travel this weekend. That's a 60% increase over last year when the economy was still shut down. Many of you, I think, are probably going to be traveling. Nope, staying home, says Tina C. Janet Milner says, yes, you're traveling. Staying home. Gas here at Ryan Turbo Jackson says, Michigan, it just broke $3 a gallon. $3 a gallon. Arizona is $3.12. Let's see what Lisa say. Lisa say, I paid $2.85 yesterday in Rockford, Illinois, and yes, we are traveling by car. No plans here, says Derek. No plans here. Gas prices going up. Gas going up. Hippie sound in your neck of the woods, I bet. Gas going up. Groceries going up. And that's why we just saw those inflation numbers just a moment ago just came out, which we'll get to in a second. But they are up. California, 408. Washington, 299. Kevin, thank you. Wow. Heidi, where do you live? You live in central coast of California. It's 465. Holy smokies. That's crazy. Amy Perkins says, staying home. Yeah, I'm staying home this weekend as well. Some friends are having a party, so we'll be going there. Mike Luongo. Is at 389 in Boston. New kid on the block. DC is 304. Octavio says, hey, Clayton, where is the bossa nova music? As a Brazilian, I'm missing that. Yeah, we've had some technical issues. I think, you know, right now it seems like a lot of different companies are having technical issues for software. And so we had to switch from our normal vMix software over to Restream.
Check.
Oh, there's David. He's back. David is back.
So you should hear the music now that I'm back.
Okay. Queen Dorian, staying home as well. Asia Lackey is seeing my grandparents finally. That's good. Staying home. 289 down in Miami. Terry says 289 in Miami. As a medical courier, what are you doing here? As a medical courier, I'm feeling the gas cost pain, Mike says. Yeah. And many of you driving is part of your job, too. What was that super chat? Sorry, I missed that. You clicked on
it. It's okay. It just says going to Chicago Cubs game tomorrow, Kathy LaCroix.
Hmm. That sounds like fun. Well, speaking of people going to events, this is going to happen. Where's my notes here? Yeah. So tomorrow, or this weekend, 135,000 people expected to go on Sunday to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And that's, by the way, 40% less capacity than normal. 135,000 people. It's going to be hot, too. Health officials credit rising vaccine rates in Indiana and nationwide for the state's ability to hold such a large gathering. They held it last year with no one in attendance. This is the 105th running of the race on Sunday. Everyone will have to wear a mask when not eating or drinking. And they're going to check your temperature at the door when you're going in. So 135,000 fans at 60% capacity. It's kind of crazy. How many of you watching right now are going to the race? I don't know. Would you go to this thing? I don't know. Well, I wouldn't go, not because of the vaccine. I wouldn't. I just don't want to be out in the like 95 degree sun for watching.
Especially at a racetrack.
Yeah.
Where it's concrete.
Where there's no shade. My father-in-law and his wife go every year. She's from Indiana, so they make a pilgrimage there every year to go to the race. They're going. So we'll see. Hopefully it's not too crazy. But yeah, they've been there every year. It's been a little, I don't know. I know David Letterman loves to go because he's from Indianapolis and he goes. And I don't know. You couldn't sign me up for that.
I actually lived in Speedway for a little while, just for a few months. And oh my gosh, during that time, you can't, you just don't leave. It's insane. The crime rate just grows. I mean, it's just like a bunch of people walking around drinking and climbing fences and breaking stuff. And
oh man. Oh, I bet. Memorial Day gas price is the highest in 7 years and could stay that way all summer. So it'd be interesting to see how many of you are traveling this weekend.
Yeah, hey, our gas here just went up 10 cents a gallon. It went up from 319 to 329 in just in a day or two.
Jeez. We're going to get to Bitcoin prices here in a moment, what I see happening in the market. We also heard from Jamie Dimon on Bitcoin, on cryptocurrency. We're going to hear his thoughts on that. And we're going to tell you what is one of the most crypto-friendly states in the United States. Also, we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I'll tell you about our friends over at Webull. If you want to get, someone wrote me yesterday and wanted to know, was it Christina? Somebody, I forget who exactly sent me a note, said she watches the show. She's getting started in trading. And you can get two free stocks by opening a Webull account. And the great thing about Webull is you can do cryptocurrency trading on there as well. So you can even buy Bitcoin. What you can do is, though, go to morninginvest.com/Webull. That's where you go to get your two free stocks. And then once you get those two free stocks, you know, you get a Facebook stock, Starbucks stocks, whatever you're getting, you know, after you make your first deposit. Then after about 10 days, they deposit those stocks in your account. You can sell those stocks and convert them to Bitcoin or Ethereum or Doge, whatever you want. That's how you can get some free Bitcoin. And then, you know, you can move it over to your crypto wallet. So if you want to move it over to Bybit or your other wallet, it doesn't matter. But you can do it all right there and for free. So this is one of the big stock platforms that I use for my trades. Like I bought more Ford stock the other day. This is where I did it. I did it on Webull. So go to morninginvest.com/Webull to get two free stocks you can use to convert over to crypto. So Bitcoin falling below 36,000 for the first time in a while. In about a week. It hit that 40,000 level, but really couldn't hold that level. So Bitcoin bulls couldn't push it above 40. So we're in a couple of different interesting patterns right now. And I want to first show you like a comparison to where we were in 2013 to where we are right now. And so if you look at 2013, this price action, and you look at the price action of where we are now, the white line is current, and the blue line was the price action in 2010 up to 2013. It's following it to a T right now. So if this pattern continues, do you guys see in the chat here? Let me know what you see here. I'm going to sort of quiz you guys. What do you see happening? See, the white line stops because we're you know, in May, so we don't have all of that. And you see the blue pattern there from 2013. That's a parabolic move. So what do you think is likely to happen with Bitcoin if it continues this pattern? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to run up, right? Now, where do we think it could run to? That's the question. Belinda says, thank you, Mercury Retrograde. Yeah. You know, what's going on? Superior Video and Photography says, what's going on with Doge? We'll get to Doge in a minute. But yeah, it's going to go to the moon. Carlos Morales says, to the moon, going up. Hopefully history repeats itself. Nathaniel Gilchrist says, drop substantially. So, you know, when you, and say investors will pull out. Asia says investors will pull out. It's going to climb. Okay, good question. Good thoughts here. I like all of your ideas. So, good ideas, but we need data to support all of this. And so there's some really good patterns to look at here. Will Clement is a really, really good guy. You should follow him on Twitter. He breaks down the volatility and he really dives deep into the data and gives us historical understanding of this. And so there's a clear takeaway from some of his analysis. There's a clear rotation of supply from short-term holders to long-term holders. So when someone in the chat just said investors are going to pull out, yes, but what kind of investors are getting out? What kind of investors? Short-term investors. These are young investors who maybe just bought Bitcoin a month ago, and they're like, oh, I heard a lot about Bitcoin on TV and on whatever, and they get into it, and then they don't know what they're doing, and now they're selling out, and they're losing money. Who's buying it? Long-term traders, long-term investors. So these exchange flows this morning have reversed from being bearish recently and now showing net outflows. Accumulation is in process. After a big drop-off earlier this month, new entities are coming on the network. On this, and by the way, how do we know this? It's because you can look on network, on the blockchain, and actually see these types of traders buying. You can see how long they've been in the game. Miners are not accumulating as heavily as they have been recently. And so in the shorter term, some key price resistances to the upside are the 200 daily moving average. Okay, those were some key resistance points. And now, here's what we're seeing. As you can see, a lot of recent selling has been done by coins aged 1 month to 3 months old, and also 3 to 6 months old. These were coins last moved in the green zone and highlighted below. So what that means is that young traders, maybe inexperienced traders, are selling. And then who's buying right now? Well, you can see on network right now who's buying. And it's bigger fish. It's bigger fish, which is why I kind of laughed at this story with Jamie Dimon, or JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon, who is telling people yesterday, beware of cryptocurrencies, at the same time that JP Morgan Chase is allowing, you know, as part of their financial services, for people to get involved in cryptos. So it's a clear sign of like, oh, you know, I don't, you know, watch what they do, not what they say. That's exactly what this is. Like, so at JP Morgan, they're literally allowing you, and they're moving into cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, and they're, you know, they're hiring people for cryptocurrency. And yet Jamie Dimon goes on television and tells people this.
They haven't changed that much. And put aside blockchain and put aside stable coins, which is supported by assets. Something that's not supported by anything, I do not believe has much value. My own personal advice to people is stay away from it. That does not mean the clients don't want it. This goes back to how you have to run a business. I don't smoke marijuana, but if you make it nationally legal, I'm not going to stop our people from banking it and et cetera. I don't tell people how to spend their money, regardless of how I might personally feel about some of the items that people might buy with their money, stuff like that. So we're debating, should we make it available in some way, in a safe way that people can buy and sell it and put it in the statement systems. But my own personal view, it's nothing like a fiat currency. It's nothing like gold. buyer beware. And I do think that eventually the regulators who are day late and a dollar short should be paying a lot more attention to the future, like payment for order flow, high-frequency trading, cryptocurrency, and put a legal regulatory framework around it.
Thank you so much.
So, yeah, we at JP Morgan will allow, you know, we will be happy to make money off of it. Just, just don't put your money into it. Well, but at JP Morgan, we'll make money off of your trades. Like, we're happy to do that. You know, we'll set up the framework so you can have a crypto wallet here at JP Morgan, and we will allow it to be part of your retirement portfolio. Oh, and by the way, we're hiring thousands of people who can be crypto agents on the phone to help people. But, you know, so again, watch what they do, not what they say. Here, I love the comments on this particular video, by the way. Hassan Investing says, so banks are against Bitcoin and cryptos. This was the whole point of cryptos. Banks say, stay away from crypto. Me buys more crypto. Jamie Diamond, I don't smoke weed. Me going all in. He is the enemy. Do the opposite of what elites like him say and you will succeed. Stay away from crypto. Diamond purchases tons of crypto and prices skyrocket. Now, go ahead and purchase crypto. Crypto, my personal advice is to stay away from Jamie Dimon. Yeah, but beware. Beware of cryptocurrencies. Beware. And stay away from it when you have these, like, institutional guys. And now you have certain countries that are also coming out saying, we need to stop down on cryptocurrencies. The country of Iran yesterday, with some pretty big news, banned all crypto mining in the country for 3 months. They said that it's because of energy concerns and blackouts, and other people are saying, really? Are you really saying that? When you actually look at the data and you realize how much cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is being mined in that country, far eclipses their own economy and their own currency. Like, what's really going on here? You know, what's really happening here? Here's what Michael Saylor has to say about Iran. Like, are they really concerned about energy, or is there something else at play? Like, you're concerned about your own currency and the undermining of your currency because, you know, Iran has a relatively young population and young people are highly skeptical of their government. That's the point of crypto. So it's easy for this authoritarian government to step in and just clamp down on crypto. Here's Michael Saylor.
What I want to talk to you about is what we're seeing in China and actually just the news from Iran as well with the challenges they're having with their electricity grid. How quickly do you think perhaps mining, which tends to be and we believe is far dirtier, that goes on in China and places like Iran, how quickly do you think that shifts out of those nations and comes to places where it is far more easy perhaps to use more renewable sources of energy to power these computers?
You know, I think the industry is maturing. There is clean, renewable energy in China through their hydroelectric dams, and it's a great success story. We're using energy coming off of dams that otherwise would have been wasted and lost forever to the world. There is dirty coal in China. The Chinese have their own environmental goals, and they're working to clean up all of their emissions. And so it's not surprising to me that they're driving for clean energy. In Iran, the story is they're shutting down illegal Bitcoin miners and they're supporting legal Bitcoin miners. It's just a regularization or normalization of the industry. And I think that there's a dynamic where a lot of hash power will come to the U.S. and will come to other parts of the world. The network is fault tolerant, and so it's going to adjust. And clearly, as expensive, dirty energy comes offline, more and more of the hash power switches to clean, sustainable energy, and that's a great thing. And any jurisdiction that doesn't support mining will drive the hash power to the jurisdictions that do support mining. Bitcoin is a solution to anybody that has cheap, renewable energy but doesn't have a customer for it. And Bitcoin is the greatest customer for renewable energy in the world.
Michael Saylor on Iran. So, concerned once again about energy, you know, energy FUD. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm actually thinking about setting up a mining setup. So I was talking to Natalie about it yesterday. I said, you know, we've got this area in, we can actually set up a mining rig and I'm thinking about doing it.
Well, you should look into that. How to there's a video on YouTube on how to mine Ethereum on an M1 Mac.
I know. So I've got that M1 Mac. I'm thinking about looking into doing that. Or I was thinking about going the NVIDIA route, because the reason I'm saying this is I can do it all sustainably. You know, I have the full solar setup. So everything, this whole show is run on solar panels. Nothing from the electrical grid. And we produce more than we use by a landslide. So all of that excess is going into battery storage, et cetera, and going back to the grid. But to be able to use that for Ethereum mining and others, I'm thinking, you know, looking into it. The NVIDIA chips that they've developed specifically for mining, NVIDIA's, I mean, you want a company to invest in right now. Look at what NVIDIA is doing. There's no wonder why they're up, because they develop an entire basically architecture just for mining outside of their normal gaming platform. Look at this. Up like 9% as the market opens this morning. NVIDIA up nicely again. I think I might do it. You know, and even just a small, just to have to put this in context, like even just a small, a mining operation where you're setting up just four, you know, really like a small rig can produce upwards of $5,000-$6,000 in Ethereum per month. So imagine building out an entire sort of big building, which we might be able to do, and set up a full on big deal mining rig. So I'm going to look into that. The problem is when I start to think about these things, I end up doing them. And it's like both good and bad, right? Like I get something in my mind and I'm like, oh, am I going to do this? Am I going to do this? I'd love to learn how to do it, to be honest with you. Just from the education perspective, would you ever think you would do something like this? You have a bunch of old computers laying around.
I do, but I just like, it's already hot enough in here. If I had a different building, maybe, I was going to try and set up to do Bitcoin mining a long time ago, but I decided not to. Just all the work, like server maintenance and stuff and computer maintenance that you'd have to do. I mean, if you had people you could hire to run it for you and not have to do all that stuff, I could see maybe doing it. But if you had to manage it all yourself. Yeah.
We'll see. So I'm going to start the process of looking into it. So the other question, of course, has been this Bitcoin volatility and the price action on Bitcoin right now. And, you know, we've been tracking this over the past few days. We've been looking at where Bitcoin is going. I'm going to give you some charting ideas in a moment, but there's obviously concern that this is going to run down in the 20,000 range in a short amount of time. There's also bullish signs that this could be running up to the very high, upwards of 100,000, 70,000, 80,000. So all of this volatility, is this normal? Should we care? Michael Saylor had a lot to say on this subject, on why even with this volatility, you're still up significantly compared to other assets.
Now, our next guest has just hosted a meeting between Elon Musk and the top Bitcoin miners in North America, who've now agreed to form a council to put sustainability first. Michael Saylor, the CEO of MicroStrategy, joins us now. Michael, it's always fantastic to have you on the show. We can talk about that. Just put it into perspective. What do we need to understand about some of the choppiness that we've seen in the last 3 weeks or so?
You know, Bitcoin is maturing as an asset class. So if you look at it over the past 15 months, the liquidity in Bitcoin is up by a factor of 700%. The price is up by 700%. On May 18th, $13.5 billion in the spot market traded on the Binance exchange, and the price closed 7x more than it was on Black Thursday, which was the biggest trading day of 2020. So Bitcoin, the question has always been, will institutions embrace it? They have embraced it. And although you can write a negative headline, if you just focus upon the price movement between Saturday of 1 week and Tuesday of the next week, if you actually look out over a 12-month time period, the story is 700% increase in liquidity and 700% increase in price.
You're saying volatility is the price you pay for investing in nascent technology.
Yeah, we either can have stable stagnation or we can have vitality accompanied with volatility. And so, yeah, there's some volatility, but the assets performed 10x better than equity for a decade and 100x better than gold for a decade. And so I'd much rather have the volatility and the vitality that comes with it.
As would I. And when you talk about institutions now jumping on board with this, you're seeing more and more business adoption of it. Just a few moments ago, saw that Sheetz announcing that they are going to now accept Bitcoin at over 622 stores. The company's payments manager says, "We are constantly innovating and exploring new offerings to truly give our customers what they want, when they want it, 24/7, 365 days a year." So Sheetz now taking to Bitcoin. Again, it's interesting to see how people are going to do this, and are they going to use this? Are you going to use Bitcoin for payment, which again is a taxable event? So if you're using Bitcoin, you're that's every time you're doing that, you're having to basically take profits and then sell it, and then use that as a taxable event. It doesn't work as a currency. So it does though work as a store of value. So I think there's going to be a reckoning here soon to figure out, like, do people understand that? And is IRS going to really clamp down on people who just don't understand how this property works? It's like using your house to buy groceries or go to get gas with a piece of property and assets. Again, it's a store of value. And you look at what the Federal Reserve has said about Bitcoin as a store of value, perhaps better than gold. We don't even have a good accounting of how much gold is out there. But we do know exactly how much Bitcoin is out there. As a store of value, it makes sense. But at this hour, if we look at the price and we talk about some of this choppiness in the market, it's understood that, you know, we're going to see these price swings. All right, so I was showing you this chart here. Let me pull this back up if I can. I just do. Okay, now my screen went black. Happened there. Okay. So I was showing you this chart here. So on this chart, if you look at the price action, again, comparing 2013 levels, and are we about to have this incredible parabolic upswing? Perhaps, right? I mean, history is repeating itself. And that's, you know, the funny thing is that history repeats itself constantly in chart patterns. Once you understand, you know, even at a basic level, you understand basic technical analysis and you can really see what's happening. So over the past few days, of course, we've been seeing this choppiness in Bitcoin. And we've saw this inverse head and shoulders pattern emerging. But the problem is that this right shoulder has never fully formed. And it will at some point. Like, you know, it could also be that we're seeing a larger inverse head and shoulders pattern. So, you know, maybe we have this smaller one here. Maybe we have, and this never really fully formed. Because to have it fully form, we need to hit this level here, right? Across, and we didn't get there. And as we approached 40 yesterday and we hit it, we barely touched it, the bulls couldn't capture that and run with it. And so now we are seeing a possibility of this heading down even further. Well, this is going to be a really interesting moment to see here right now. Now, I'm not trading in this environment at all with Bitcoin. Like, if you're holding, you know, make sure you have stop losses set in here, but I'm waiting for this to enter a new period. I want to know what's going to happen. Is it going to come down here and hit this support level? And then once I get confirmation that it's heading back up, then that's when I might, you know, I will consider buying back in. Does it hit 32, 33? Or does it go perhaps even lower than that? Which, of course, is a possibility. There's a couple of different reasons for this. Let's take a look at this. Right now, we're seeing what's known as a Wyckoff distribution. And there's different versions of it. You can actually, but this is a Wyckoff event and phase chart. So if you look at your screen right now, you can kind of see where we are as a comparison to the current trading pattern on your screen. So again, let me pull this up here, get a little better analysis going here. Zoom in. Okay. So do you see some similarities here? They are spot on Wyckoff distribution scenarios. I'm going to go back and forth between, look at that. It's like someone, let me zoom in a little bit better for you. Down. This is a 4-hour chart. So again, let me go back to the Wyckoff distribution model. And so we're basically right now in phase B. Could we be going down to this new bottom, this new support and this new support line before we break out? Because we have, if we go to our chart, we have here, just like on the Wyckoff chart, here and here. And so, you know, where is this third spot? And this is a bearish pattern right now. And in many ways, you're getting this triangle pattern that's emerging. And I don't trade, you know, I don't want to be trading inside of these patterns. It's very dangerous to be trading inside of a pattern like this. Now, sure, you can make little profits on little bumps like 4%, 5%, but I'm not interested in that. Like, I want the big parabolic move up. Like, that's what I want on Bitcoin. So where is the bottom? It's a great question. That's why this weekend is going to be crazy for Bitcoin. And look, everything else follows Bitcoin. You know, we can look at Ethereum, we can look at Ethereum prices, we can look at the charts, and it's all following this. Dogecoin, Ethereum, everything follows Bitcoin. And one thing you can do, if you want to see when you're having these price swings on Bitcoin, and you're like, well, where can I make some money right now? One thing you can do is go over to CoinMarketCap, and you can look at those coins that are taking off in the green. Those are coins that are showing you that, like, here's a place for you to be making some money while Bitcoin is going crazy. Go over to CoinMarketCap and look at the ones with the most price moves, biggest price moves, if you're interested in trading in this environment. I pulled out of Bitcoin and I'm sitting in cash right now. I don't like to be in US, but I'm in, you know, USDT. I'm in Tether right now, waiting for this, for something to happen with this pattern. You know, and again, I think what's interesting too, when we got this $65,000 price back, you know, a few weeks ago, like it wasn't a mass, it, you know, it was like, okay, it was 50, 56, 50, 65. It was like a tepid high. Like, I don't really think like this 65 being the all time high is anywhere near where it's going to be. But this has all of the hallmarks of this Wyckoff distribution pattern, where we will go to another downturn. There's going to be another pattern drop here. In, you know, if you look at this data, according to the data. So where
why don't
is this
they name these patterns something like buy now pattern, wait pattern? This could be good pattern. Like what's with like Wyckoff double shoulder? Like why they have such weird names?
Yeah. I actually was studying about the Wyckoff distribution last week, looking through the history of Wyckoff. And I think it's Richard, if I'm not mistaken, Richard Wyckoff, who charted this and figured this pattern out based on analysis. I think it's, let me see if it's Richard Wyckoff. Yeah, it is. I was right. He died in 1934, and he's the founder of the Magazine of Wall Street. And the stock market technique, the Wyckoff implementation implemented his methods of technical analysis of the financial markets. It was the study of charts showing movements of stock prices and other data. And he was a great guy, by the way. He was really philanthropic, and as he made money, he was like giving money back as much as he could. The trading range. So the Wyckoff, he had a detailed analysis of a trading range, which had posited an ideal price bracket for buying or selling a stock. One tool that Wyckoff provides is the concept of a composite operator. Simply, Wyckoff felt that an experienced judge of the market should regard larger market trends as the expression of a single mind. He felt that it was an important psychological and tactical advantage to stay in harmony with this omnipotent player. So he believed that if he built this pattern and strategy, people could benefit from this trading pattern. And it's proven itself time and time and time and time again. So why would this be, you know, again, why would this time be any different? So again, if you're in Bitcoin you know, it's, again, it's hovering around this price right now. So it's around, it's gone up a little bit since the start of the show. 30, it hit like 30, 35, 36. Now it's at 37. You know, this is a weird, weird chart moment for Bitcoin. It's, but we're in this phase right now of this triangle. And so when you're in this phase, like, I'm not a fan of trading in a phase like this. So we could see it go up, doom, 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 and then what? This is where I want to, like, what happens when these bands come together? Something breaks out. Now, either it breaks down all the way down, maybe it hits this support pattern here, maybe it hits here, or maybe it goes all the way down to 20. You know, there are some price targets have it at 20, 22. 22,000. You know, I'd love to hear inside the chat right now, where do you guys think this is going to go? Asia says, I saw an awesome video on Wyckoff this morning talking about the composite, this composite. Huh, interesting. But this is, you know, when you understand these patterns, this is how you can begin to make a lot of money. You know, when you can see that we're replicating the same pattern from 2013, and how high will this go? And I think also it's important to understand who's buying right now. Who's buying right now are people who've been there, done that. Again, I come back to this Will Clement and analysis of who's buying. Short-term holder supply it's moving from short-term holders to long-term holder supply. Here, this is a great example here. Okay. In November to December, long-term holders were selling off and short-term holders were coming in. Then long-term holders are now stacking and short-term holders are selling off. So money is moving from short-term people to long-term people like Michael Saylor, Elon Musk, Mark Cuban. That's what's happening. I don't know if this is a bull market or a bear market right now. It's, you know, it's hard to call it one way or the other. But there's, when am I going to start jumping back in? I'm going to jump back in when I feel confident that this pattern has shown me where it's going. Know, what's happening with this pattern? That's when I'm going to jump back in. And so will it hit 20? We need to figure out what happens here first. This is the moment. And so again, this is a four hour chart. And so likely, you know, sometime this weekend is when we'll have some more indication of when this is going to move. But I hope that it hits this Wyckoff distribution and then we see this massive run up to the upside. Again, we are right now, we are in phase B. And we're about to go into this spring. So you see there on the chart, phase C is spring. And if I come back to where phase C would be in this, I think, you know, phase C is like, it's going to be in here somewhere. Somewhere in here. That's going to give us an indication. Okay, does this, you know, does this, or I should move this over a little bit. Does this pop down. So here's where we are right now. Get rid of some of my technical indicators here. Get these off the screen. But, you know, then you're seeing some other, of course, there's just a lot of concern, sort of like the institutional, like the main part of the markets right now are just moving funky. And you look at what's happening with AMC and some of these meme stocks this morning, surging again up this morning. How many of you guys are holding AMC right now? Think about that. People were saying, who was saying that? Like Franklin's Valentine says, man, but effing AMC, I plan to buy a bunch, but didn't think the $12 would be the new support and didn't want it. Well, there you go. Look at this. 32. And then let's take a look at GameStop, also up again. And make no mistake about it, and we can call them meme stocks all you want, but institutions are buying up these stocks. So you have big players that are buying up these stocks. This is not just being bought by retail Robinhood traders. It's not. Look at NVIDIA. So I gotta get into the mining, my friend. I think I gotta get into this. Doing some Bitcoin mining. I mean, look at this. As the U.S. government continues to spend like this, I mean, $6 trillion as part of the new Biden budget, where are you going to put your money? Like, are you going to put your money in U.S. dollars? Or are you going to put it in gold? You know, are you going to put it in, look, gold is up since we started the show. Are you going to put it in crypto as a store of value? Or you want to have your money in this, U.S. dollars? Or you can just print it like crazy. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Interesting to see. Another story I wanted to cover is that, you know, a couple big states now are making some big moves into crypto. And one area, one state, which has already, from a real estate perspective, from a real estate investor perspective, in my opinion, was, it is the number one landlord-friendly state in the country for landlord laws, et cetera, also from a tax perspective. But we now have that, why didn't I download this? I did, but it didn't save, huh? But the state of Texas is now becoming one of the most favorable states for, as the second largest state in the U.S., it's quickly becoming more Bitcoin friendly, favorable legislation for hodlers. So as I was saying, Texas, quickly becoming one of the best states in the country for, well, not only for real estate investing, like where I do a lot of real estate investing, it's quickly becoming a mecca for Bitcoin miners. Mining firms are there investing heavily, and by the way, renewably. So, you know, becoming energy producers and becoming miners. I mean, hey, here's a state that relies heavily on oil industry. Why can't it also become like the leader in Bitcoin mining or crypto mining? You know, turning to, imagine that, like instead of seeing like those big oil rigs and the big things that are, you know, in the earth, then you're going to have server farms. You're going to have, you know, you're going to have Bitcoin mining facilities and producing, God knows we know what their grid looks like, but producing energy that gives back to the local communities as a result. Argo is already mining in Texas. Riot is mining investments in Texas. And as Greg Abbott points out, Texas is quickly becoming a mecca for Bitcoin miners. I love this, though. Only problem with Texas is the population doesn't believe in global warming in Texas. Yeah.
I think it's funny how people blanket like all of Texas.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you do have a bunch of people in an area that believe a certain thing, but you can't say that about the whole entire state. I mean, Austin is pretty.
Yeah, that's all. It was like a lot of signs that it was almost turning blue this year.
Yeah.
You know, that it would actually voted for Biden as Austin becomes more blue and you get more, you know, get more outflow from California into Texas. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the state of Texas and other states. We're also seeing this in Montana. Montana is starting to embrace Bitcoin mining. Like Montana is opening a, let's see, where is it here? Yeah. State here is building a new server farm in Montana. Atlas Power, a small Montana-based Bitcoin mining firm, is planning to build a 1,600-acre solar power project in the state. The Basin Creek Solar Project will include roughly 700,000 new solar panels to provide the data center and surrounding area with green energy. It's how we can do it, folks. And like I said, I've got this solar, got the full solar array. I think I'm going to look into starting to, you know, look into Bitcoin mining or Ethereum mining, maybe even some other, I don't know. I'll have to see. I'll see what makes the most sense.
And I think Dean was asking why they call it mining. I think it's like the gold, old gold days. It's like you're mining coin or mining a mineral. So,
right. Yeah, you're not actually mining, right? So you're digging for something, but
you don't take a computer out back and dig in the ground.
Yeah. So again, Texas just passed HB 4474, which helps better define the legal status of Bitcoin in the state for users. And it moves next to Greg Abbott's desk, which he's already publicly supported. It's quickly becoming a Bitcoin-friendly state. I mean, it's crazy to see, like, you know, these people are accepting in all these countries now, you know, instead of their dollars or instead of their currencies, like Bitcoin is accepted here. Go to the store. Bitcoin is accepted here. Pay in Bitcoin. I mean, and you have in these more, you know, small, poor villages where they're unbanked, don't have access to capital, can't get a bank account. But guess what? Bitcoin doesn't care what color your skin is, where you're from. It's decentralized. It's not run by greedy people on Wall Street. They don't get their hands on it. They can try to stop it all they want, but they won't be able to. And you have, you know, now you have some of these big guys, these huge guys getting into it, seeing the full light of day, right? Stanley Druckenmiller, I do own some Bitcoin. Paul Tudor Jones, 1% of my assets are in Bitcoin. Ray Dalio, I have some Bitcoin. It's the future, folks, the people's currency. So that's why we pay attention to it closely here on the show, because it's not run by these creeps on Wall Street and in government. So people just want to understand like what a smart contract is. Here's basically how it works. And this is a good summation of how smart contracts work. Working principle of smart contracts can be examined in 5 steps. An offer. Transaction process starts with an offer of the first party. First party writes its terms in the form of a if then statement, then places it into the blockchain. Negotiation happens. Terms are visible to any party on the blockchain so that two parties can negotiate on a contract term. Approval. Once two parties agree upon terms and triggering events such as a due date, an expiration date, strike price, or other conditions, the contract becomes immutable and cannot be changed by any party. Satisfying conditions. After each party approves the contract, smart contracts can self-verify the conditions that are placed inside a contract by interpreting real-time data. And then transaction. When the triggering event occurs, the transfer of assets such as a stock, real estate, information, intellectual property, and digital, non-digital funds happen. And that's why smart contracts are so powerful. And folks, it's only a matter of time when houses, I mean, you've seen so much fraud in the title industry around real estate over the past few years. And it's accelerating at a lightning pace for closes of properties. And you'll notice if you're closing a property, you'll notice that the title company will send you emails and they'll have like a big warning in the email about fraud. Because what happens is these hackers break in, get, and they spoof email addresses of people that are buying and selling houses. And they'll send an email. They're like, hey, we know you're closing on property 123 Main Street next Friday. Here's the banking information where you'll send your wire. And people will be like, oh, of course. Who else knows that I'm buying a house, right? And then they go and they wire their information, they wire their money to this spoofed email address that looks almost exactly like a Fidelity email address or whatever. And now they've just lost $300,000. That's happening all the time. So it's only a matter of time before smart contracts take over real estate so that it's totally protected on the blockchain. And you can't have these people getting in between it. Like you're having basically a peer-to-peer connection on real estate.
We got Judah Karen Schultz. Any information on the tax break for those on unemployment? I had to pay in this year to state.
Well, again, we just had that story just a few minutes ago on the show where the IRS is like, where are these payments? These payments back for unemployment benefits. And the IRS is like not giving answers. So they said that they were going to be handling it on their own. Like if you overpaid on your insurance or if you overpaid on your taxes, They are going to send you, like, they're going to take care of it, basically. Well, where are those payments? And people still waiting on their tax refunds. So, yeah, we don't know.
We have another one from Ziad Elkmaisani. He must not have got the memo yesterday about changing names to something I can pronounce. But anyway, he wants to know, with Defy Summer around the corner, what projects are you excited about?
Oh, I would just answer that one about Polkadex. You were oh. doing something.
Okay. Then that's
you
all.
Were on, you were on another live stream.
Oh, gotcha. And Derek Brown, Super Chat, thank you. Yes, I usually do like three or four of these at the same time just because, you know, why not?
He does a frisbee. He does a frisbee golf live stream simultaneously with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy! Well, thank you, everyone. Sorry for the internet hiccups. I've already reached out to our internet provider, and hopefully, he will. He says apparently everything is normal. Hello, Clayton. What kind of issues are you having? Apparently, everything is normal.
Yeah. Packet losses is just totally normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Every few minutes, packet losses.
That's like my YouTube channel has been losing comments on every video, and YouTube responded and said that they don't know if there's anything they can do, and that they appreciate my feedback and they try to implement my ideas and feedback. And I'm like, this is not an idea or feedback. I'm not getting comments. That's a bug. That is your problem, your issue. You're a $1 billion company. Fix it. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. Oh boy, companies. Anyway, all right, everyone, have a great weekend. We'll be back with a video later today, and then we'll, you know, I'll have some coverage this weekend. Make sure you follow us on the Telegram channel. I'll be posting different trades and things I'm looking at in the market. And have a great weekend, everyone. Great holiday weekend. Hopefully you get to see some family, friends, and chill out a little bit like this guy. Peace out, everyone.